You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Luke Elder, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well. It's the first of two good days at Sandown with the flat taking centre stage on Friday. We also have Doncaster and Perth alongside that in the afternoon, Huntingdon and Chepstow in the evening, and of course it's day four of the Punchestown Festival over in Ireland. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Good, thank you, Mark. Not too bad.
Yeah, you had to think about it for a second there.
Yeah, I was just thinking what answer to give, but no, not too bad.
yeah, good. Well, we've got some pretty good racing going on in both codes at the moment, James. Just have a quick look back at some of the highlights from Wednesday before we get stuck into Friday's action. We had a derby trial at Epsom. A lot of people, including myself, would say it's a derby trial only in name. But you disagree with me here, don't you, a little bit? The winner was Cracksman. He's now 8-1 second favourite for the derby behind Churchill. And the time wasn't very impressive. I don't think his performance was all that impressive either, but you're shaking your head
miserable
in disagreement.
Miserable, Mark Walton. No, it was a good effort. I was quite impressed. He's a son of Frankel. Generally, we say a little bit highly strung, a little bit out of control, too exuberant, but he seems to be the opposite, very laid back. And John Gosden said before the race that you probably need to run. His experience of Epsom. And, yeah, generally in the past, it's not been a particularly great race. But Somi Dahl won it last year.
Yes.
She went on to win the Musadora. Unfortunately, injury meant she couldn't take part in the Oaks. But John Gosden's won it four times in the last 10 years. He'd like to take a potential Derby Oaks horse for the race. And, like I say, Frank Norton gave the runner-up an absolutely cracking ride. Yes, on the bare form, you're quite right. Time was slow. He hasn't achieved enough to say he's a Derby contender. But he's 8-1 for the Derby. So, obviously, the odds compilers were reasonably impressed. He's well backed earlier on in the week as well. I think he's going to head to the Dante next, and we'll learn a little bit more there. But I was impressed, unlike you. But no, I thought it was a good effort. I think you might be eating your words.
Yeah, I know it was a slowly run race, but still 6 seconds slower than standard. The time doesn't impress me all that much.
No pacemakers in the field, even in a athletics race. You're not going to have a fast time.
I will happily eat my words if he goes on to win the Derby.
We'll revisit this at a later date.
We'll either see him at probably Chester or York, won't we? And then we'll learn a bit more about him later on. With regards to the Punchestown Festival, superb race on Wednesday. The Punchestown Gold Cup going the way of Cheltenham Gold Cup winner Sizing John. He's the first horse to ever win the Punchestown Gold Cup, the Cheltenham Gold Cup and the Irish Gold Cup in the same season. And a cracking finish there. Jack Adam and Coney Gree also heavily involved. Those three pulling miles clear of the rest and gave us a real superb finish. If you can't be excited about what happened there, then you're in the wrong game, because that was absolutely superb.
Anyway, we had a proper race, didn't we? Three in a line at the last, and anyone could have been called the winner. Even to be fair, at the line, I wasn't too sure who had exactly won. So it was an absolutely cracking contest. Sizing John had a tough season. He's been there, got a T-shirt, and then won everything he's really been asked to compete in. Obviously, struggled against Duvan last year, but stepped up in trips, switched to Jesse Harrington's stable. He's really come alive, and ridden by Man of the Moment and Robbie Power. I think that was his eighth grade one yesterday. And yeah, a cracking effort. Jack Adam has come so close once again to winning a big race. He just made a bit of a peck at the last that could have cost him. And the Brass Stocks got Kearney Gree back in absolutely brilliant form. He ran a cracker, bearing in mind he picked up an injury at Haydock. They were quite correct. He wasn't going to be quite ready for Cheltenham, but they've got him to punch us down. He's run an absolute cracker if they can keep him sound next year. You'd imagine he's a contender again, because he's only 10-year-old. He's not massively old as such. He's been very, very lightly raced, and I'd say he's still got all the ability.
Yeah, I think that's the key, isn't it? He might be 10 years of age, but he's had very little racing due to his injuries.
Yep.
He picked on landing two out as well.
Even a bit more involved. So I'd say we're an absolute cracker. Robbie Power, everything he does goes right at the moment, but enjoyable racing at Punchestown this week.
I know, we're just finishing, well, we finished the jump season domestically, we're just finishing it in Ireland, but just looking forward to next year. If you've got the likes of those three, then you've got Mike Bight and so on and so forth going to the King George and going to the Cheltenham Gold Cup. The Stayers division, Staying Chase division, is absolutely
strongest it's been for a while, yeah, isn't it?
Since the Courtauld Denman era and that kind of era.
But there's lots of them as well in this kind of era, whereas, like I say, it was Courtauld Denman. It was long run, I suppose, in the middle. But yeah, fascinating. But again, last year, Champion Hurdle, we said exactly the same. Fahin, Andy Power, etc., etc.
Yeah,
and they disappeared.
There,
so hopefully it'll all get there. But at the moment, certainly the chasing division in the staying department is looking very, very strong.
Really is. And one of the great racing pictures came out of that as well. There's the picture from the past where you got Courtauld Star Denman and Long Run All at the last
Gold Cup, yep.
And you got the same picture there from that with Coney Gree, Jack Adam and Sizing John. So
I remember the Tingle Creek going back along. We had Moscow Flyers, Ertioff and Wellchief, I think, all over the fence at the same time. So now cracking photo and cracking race.
Mm. We'll leave that there. That's a little bit of a look back. Let's look forward, though. We've got some great racing to look forward to on Friday. We're going to get James's thoughts in the three group races at Sandown and the Punchestown Champion Hurdle as well on day four of the Punchestown Festival. We'll get those thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then, moving on to the action on Friday. We're going to go through the races at Sandown. First, in chronological order, we start in the Gordon Richards Stakes, which is a Group 3 for the 4-year-olds and older. A mile and a quarter is the trip. The betting headed by Royal Artillery at the time of recording this. He's currently at 5-2 in the market. It's 11-4 for My Dreamboat. Ulysses is 100-30, 7-2 for Deauville, and then 14-1 and bigger prices for the others. So four of them really considered in the betting there, James. What are your thoughts on the race?
Yeah, fascinating race, isn't it, to be fair? Three of them, those four, are making their seasonal return. And you've got to consider My Dreamboat, who actually won the race last year, or going on to bigger and better things, won the Group 1 Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot, which was his highlight, and ended the season with a decent fourth in the Champion Stakes at Ascot. Got well fresh last year. Clive Cox made a good start to the season. You'd imagine he'll be there or there. He preferred a guide, wouldn't he, to the 4-year-olds that are taking on their elders. Deauville, he's the only one to actually have had a run. He went to Maidan the other day. Little bit disappointing, only finished 7th, probably needed to run a little bit, but you know he's got a bit more fitness perhaps on his side, and he's certainly a traveller. He won the Belmont Derby, 3rd in the Iron to a Million. He's probably just below top class is Deauville, but he's always in the big races. Royal Artillery, he's on a war front. We've seen a few war fronts, not training on from 2 to 3. He actually did a cracking 3-year-old campaign. He won nicely at Haydock in Group 3 company, and then 3rd behind Amazon in a Group 2 at Deauville. Type to make a better 4-year-old, but always a question mark for me, the war fronts, how long they last, how long they improve. So Ulysses actually is going to be the selection. Andrea at Zany's Mount, forced to Michael Stout, always been highly regarded, always touted, backed at big prices for the Derby after winning a maiden at Newbury. Didn't really come off, he struggled in that, but he bounced back to win at a Group 3 at Windsor and was not disgraced in the Breeders' Cup turf in his last outing of the year. And the fact that Sir Michael took him to the Breeders' Cup turf, ran him in the Derby when he was so inexperienced, it suggests that he thinks he's a decent individual. By Galay, out of Light Shift, who obviously was a very, very decent mare in those colours, I think he could be a big improvement at 4 years old. So Michael does very well in that kind of era. So Ulysses, a selection for the Gordon Richards Stakes.
Ulysses then for James there. Moving on to the 2:55 at Sandown next, the Classic Trial, a mile and a quarter of the trip for this Group 3 contest. 3-year-olds in action here, of course, and the market headed by Monarch's Glen, who's 5-6 at the top of the market at the time of recording this. Francis is 9-2, 11-2 for Kunko, Fierce Impact 6-1, 8-1 for Intern. A couple of Frankel youngsters there, Francis and Kunko in the lineup, but Monarch's Glen is the one that's pretty short at the top of the market. Another colt by Frankel. He's got a real stronghold in the race from a sire's perspective. Won its second start last season at Goodwood, made a winning reappearance at Kempton as well in pretty decent fashion, was eased down and still won by a length. If he continues to progress like that, is he the main chance here?
Yeah, definitely. This is a Frankel trial, isn't it, really? You've got three of them. Contrasting profiles, both Kunko and Frankus were out early last year. Obviously, Kunko was actually a first Frankel to win, one on debut at Newbury. Cradled the headlines when he went absolutely crazy in the preliminaries, but he got the job done. Unfortunately, he's very, very keen. Frankie never really got on with him last year. Robert Havlin, who's unfortunately suspended at the moment, he got on very well with Kunko. Question mark of him is how much he's going to improve from 2 to 3. Perhaps not a great deal. Good luck to Robert Tart riding him tomorrow. But Monarch's Glen, likely race as a 2-year-old, only 2 starts. One on the second one at pretty nicely. Very, very impressive on his return at Kempton. Just lengthened and stretched away. didn't seem too keen on that occasion. Up into group company today. This is traditionally not the strongest of trials. I think Moritz Glenn could be a real decent individual. Frankus had a typical Mark Johnson campaign last year. Very, very busy, but he improved. He won three races, including a group three in France. But again, his limitations were exposed. 106, 104 are Kunku's and Frankus's ratings, respectively. Only 101 Moritz Glenn, but he could be anything, so I'm going to stick with him. The other two, Fierce Impact, one run, one win. Only rated 81. So David Simcox risking that handicap mark to run him here, when obviously there could have been some nice handicaps to go for. He's interesting, actually bred in Japan, son of Deep Impact. See the market, see what they think about him. But at the moment, Moritz Glenn is certainly the one for me.
Moritz Glenn and the selection for James in the Classic Trial. Moving on to the mile next to Group 2 contest, over a mile, coincidentally. This is for the older horses, 4 year olds and older, in action for this one. Cool Company heads the market at 4-1. It's 5-1 for Dawn of Hope. Sovereign Debt, 6-1. Mondial East is 13-2. 7-1 for Gelotta. Cougar Mountain, 15-2 with Tashweek, and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. I thought this was relatively tricky, James.
Open contest, isn't it? Cool Company got a start of him for some very strange reason. He did not enjoy Australia. Didn't like the heat or whatever, didn't acclimatise. Yeah,
because
he's struggled out there, but back in the care of Richard Hannon, back in form. Took a while to get going again after coming back to England, but started off the season with a nice win at Doncaster in a mile-listed event. You'd imagine he's going to improve again for that. Hannon's made a cracking start to the season, and he's got every chance. But I took a chance with the old boy, Sovereign Debt. He's had a cracking season. He went off to Doha and won for Danny Nicholls' last runner. Returned in the care of Ruth Carr and won the big race on Wednesday at Lingfield on the Championships, the Weather Championships Day. And that was a cracking effort. He is 8 years old. He's not exactly going to be improving, but he's always there or thereabouts. And he's rated 110. I mean, the switch to Ruth Carr's team, another new yard, can probably sweeten up for a little bit longer, perhaps. And race fitness on his side, he might not be the best horse perhaps long term, but tomorrow could be his day to win yet another group contest. But a really, really competitive kind of race. Cougar Mountain, a horse who's always running the big races, perhaps struggled at the highest level, but he was behind Sovereign Debt out in Qatar. Gelotta is his first run of the season, so he might just need it as he's a 6 year old. Mondelist disappointed in Maidan. Dawn of Hope, he's probably the only one that could suddenly improve a little bit. Roger Varian's runner was fourth last time out. He could well improve. But I'm going to stick with your boy Sovereign Debt in the mile contest at Sandown.
Sovereign Debt and the selection for James there in the mile for Ruth Carr, who's having a good time of things at the moment.
Really good start to the season.
Six winners in the last 14 days, so she started the season very well. We finish off in Punchestown. We go there for their feature race, the Grade 1 Punchestown Champion Hurdle. 2 miles is the trip. We've got 72 joint favourites at the time of recording this, with Arctic Fire and Petit Mouchoir at the top of the market. 4-1 for Vroom Vroom Mag. Brain Power 6-1. Might Enter Yours 6-1. 12-1 Le Bake. I don't know if you get 12-1 from him to start the race, to be fair. Wickler Brave 12-1. 16-1 or bigger prices for the others.
Probably 33 to start the race, 2-1 if he jumps off.
Yeah.
But he's interesting, isn't he? Because he's probably the most talented horse in the field, I'd say. But 3 days ago, he said no.
Yeah.
He's going back to exactly the same place, exactly the same start.
You just can't back him before the race, can you?
Yeah. You may waste a few pennies on him just in case. But to be fair, it's open, isn't it? There's none that really stand out as true champion hurdle horses. My Tent of Yours, he's always struggling to get that head in front, isn't he? No Bivy there today. He's had a hard season, though. That'd be my question mark for him. I'm going to go for Arctic Fire. Lightly raced. Cracking performance to win the county hurdle off top weight. It was a really, really good effort. I like the fact Paul Tarnard keeps a ride on him. William Allen's having an okay week. I just think the fact he's missed the whole season, he only just got to Cheltenham, so he's likely to improve fitness-wise for that. He's coming here fresh and well. He's the one. Petit Mouchoir, thought he ran a cracker, finishing third in the champion hurdle. He missed Aintree, so obviously he's fresher than My Tent of Yours, so I think he can probably reverse the form with him. We've mentioned Le Bake. Who knows what he's going to do. Vroom Vroom Mag, I thought that was a decent enough effort behind Apples Jade. Whether she's quite this class against...
She won the race last year.
Yeah, I don't think it was a very particularly strong race. I'm not sure she's in exactly the same form this time around. She scraped home at Doncaster, and then obviously second in the Mayor's race at Cheltenham. But yes, it's perhaps not the strongest of contests. I'm going to stick with Arctic Fire as a selection.
Okay. I'd personally, I think I might keep the faith with Vroom Vroom Mag at 4-1. I think
Scream him again. Just being deliberately disagreeing.
Just keeping you on your toes, James. she ran perfectly well at Cheltenham. She was unwell when she still won at Doncaster earlier in the season. And Ruby Walsh has chosen to ride her over the Mullins contingent. So,
yeah, I quite like it.
Don't think it's all that bad of a price.
Nope. Wouldn't put you off. It's very open.
Yeah.
Not many you can totally rule out.
My heart wants to go with My Tent of Yours as well. Backed him a couple of times this season. Finished second in the Champion Hurdle and the entry race. He's an old boy, but he keeps running his race, which is good.
What was his last win?
Long time ago.
6th of Feb 2014 for My Tent of Yours. And that was a weather flat race. So we're going back to Boxing Day 2013, his actual last hurdle win. But he's never really had an obvious opportunity, to be fair to him. So, he's run some cracking races this year. No Bivadere today. So he is the number one. See what happens.
All right, James, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then before you go. A quick confirmation of your selections then for Friday.
Confirmation, exactly. Proper racing on Friday at Sandown. You've got Ulysses in the Gordon Richard Stakes, the 220 in the Classic Trial. I think it's going to be a Son of Frankwood that wins, and it'll be Monnet's Glen for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. And then in the mile, Sovereign Debt, the old boys had a cracking winter, winning in Qatar and at Lingfield. I think he can make it three wins of the year. Two for Ruth Carr. And then finally, the Irish Champion Hurdle. I'm going to disagree with you, Mark, and we're going to go for Arctic Fire.
Well, it's been a pleasure disagreeing with you throughout this podcast, James.
No problem.
Enjoy it on Friday. There you go, the thoughts of James Milburn on Friday's racing, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Luke Elder, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount in the studio. Good racing at Sandown. It's the Flats that takes centre stage on Friday, and then we've got the Jumps finale on Saturday, of course. It's Doncaster and Perth alongside that on Friday afternoon. Huntingdon and Chepstow on the domestic front in the evening, and day four of the Punchestown Festival. So cracking racing to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.